B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We haven't had our man Hembo on in a long time, and I know he's been cloistered, but not only is he cloistered, but he's cloistered with in-laws, and so like this is now several weeks in, so we wanted to check back with him to see how things are going on. And besides that, my man has become a national star, Tyra. Did you read this big internet feature story on Paul Hambakidis?
I did.
Monster star he is now.
All the hard work is really paying off.
Exactly.
For him.
So let's welcome in on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, the great Hembo. Hembo!
Mikey, man, you know that the sports scene has really slowed to a halt when the big lead is now forced to write puff pieces about people like me.
The big lead immortalized you, brother. Well, I mean, it's unbelievable.
The most common piece of feedback I received after people read that was that they couldn't finish it because it was so long, including myself.
Yeah, and I kept looking for the part where you go, I do this weekly thing on 97.5 The Fanatic, but I didn't find that one.
I did make mention to that kid that that I did get my start with you guys and doing this kind of thing. But you know, he was on a workout. He only had 15,000 words.
No, okay, it was great, man. And you deserve every bit of it because do a great job on that show, Get Up. And so let's talk about a couple things. So your mind's always working, man. That's what I love about you. Now you're not going to give me stats that make Malcolm Jenkins be held in higher esteem than the great Brian Dawkins, are you?
I'm not, but I have
okay.
to say.
All right.
Here's your backstory. I have been quite bored, as you mentioned. Here's your backstory. The last time I was on your fine program a few weeks ago, I believe week one of the quarantine, you asked me about the Eagles letting Malcolm Jenkins walk and whether I thought he still had anything left. And,
right.
We had a conversation about it. I was really surprised afterwards on Twitter. A bunch of Eagles fans hit me up and asked, how I feel he compares to Brian Dawkins. Like, uh-huh. And it wasn't just one rogue. Like, it was several people. And I am really flummoxed by this. Like, I don't know. Have you been fielding calls to this nature? Because there is no shred of evidence in my judgment to suggest that Malcolm Jenkins is anywhere near the player that Brian Dawkins was.
Well, no, we haven't had Brian Dawkins is held in such high esteem that no one would dare do that. But there is some love for Malcolm Jenkins, but not to that extent. But what did you find out?
Well, I mean, people were, hitting me up asking like this was a legitimate thing, which really surprised me. So I figured you guys fielded some of this, but I just went through a few things to serve as a reminder to myself just how good Dawkins was and just how good the Eagles defense was while he was anchoring it. Okay, so we'll start here with the comparison to Jenkins. On a per season basis, Dawkins averaged more interceptions, more forced fumbles, and more sacks. We know Malcolm Jenkins was a tackling machine of sorts, but there's no question that Brian Dawkins made more game-changing plays by takeaways by a significant margin. Further, the Eagles had the number five defense in the league during the 13 seasons in which Brian Dawkins played, and we know that it wasn't the Eagles' defense, generally speaking, that was stunting their growth in the playoffs. It was the offense. The defense outranked the offense in 8 of 10 years that Brian Dawkins played under Jim Johnson as defensive coordinator. He was named first-team All-Pro 4 times. That is second most for an Eagles player in the Super Bowl era behind only Reggie White. And there's no question that his intimidation and his style of play, though he probably did have some issues covering people, was generational of sorts. Like, I view him as a Ray Lewis-type player at the safety position. I'd go as far as to say that Brian Dawkins would be on my all-time Eagles Mount Rushmore. That's how much better a player he was than Malcolm Jenkins or almost any other player that I got to watch.
Really? So you had some people suggesting that maybe Malcolm was a better player. That's really interesting.
Outrageous. Yeah, outrageous. Well, and one of the arguments was he played so much better in the playoffs than in the Super Bowl. Mike, the Eagles beat the Patriots in a game in which they did not punt, okay? It's not like the Eagles defense shut those guys down. I was floored, getting this kind of feedback from your listeners.
Now, here's the balancing, because I always like to balance it. It's possible that we're romanced by Brian Dawkins, the figure that he was, the Wolverine image and all that stuff. And secondly, probably he got to be a better player because he had a lot more help around him and they were a better defense. So maybe we just don't want to see through it because we have so much of a romance. acceptance with him.
Possible, but I would say that in four different instances in which he was voted by the writers as the best safety in the NFL, and this is someone who played with Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed and Bob Sanders. Malcolm Jenkins just isn't that kind of player. Do we romanticize about Brian Dawkins? Sure, we love the way that he played. I think the same goes for Allen Iverson in some sense. In fact, I think they're very similar in that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on. You're comparing apples to elephants as far as I'm concerned.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, I get it. People will look at, well, look who we played with. They had great rushers, they had great linebackers, and all that kind of stuff. But I thought you were throwing me a curveball here. This subject, I thought you were going to have these stats that indicated that Malcolm Jenkins was every bit as good as Brian Dawkins. But I'm glad you didn't go there, brother.
Yeah, those stats do not exist.
All right, let's talk about the Eagles draft. And you're talking to a lot of experts on the Get Up show. So your personal opinion, when you've gathered all this info, where do you think the Eagles are headed? Because I've seen a couple mock drafts, including McShay, who says they're taking a linebacker at 21.
I think that is possible. I think it is more likely that Eagles take a receiver. I got some numbers for you. Using NFL Next Gen stats, Mikey Miss, the Eagles wide receivers ranked 24th last season in average speed. That unit ranked 31st in the NFL in yards per reception and produced only 12 receptions of 25-plus yards. That is the bad news. Like you said, our draft people are telling me this is probably the best receiver class that they've evaluated in recent years. Given the Eagles' issues with speed on offense last season, I've identified two players that I feel strongly that they're going to pursue in the draft in a couple weeks. The first is Henry Ruggs from Alabama. He ran a 4.27 at the combine. Ruggs is especially effective against zone coverage. He averaged 24 yards per reception against it over the last two seasons. Carson Wentz ranked 27th in yards per dropback against zone last season. The second player Mikey missed, you'll know this player well. That's KJ Hamler of Penn State. He ran an unofficial 4.27. Hamler's average touchdown catch went for 32 yards and was thrown 19 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. When targeting his wide receivers 15 or more yards downfield last season, Carson Wentz's completion percentage of 32 ranked dead last in the NFL. Both guys are good fits here.
Let's take both of them. They'd have to trade up to get Ruggs. They could trade back to get Hamler.
That's probably right. The issue though is the Eagles don't have a ton of draft capital. I'm not sure that they have enough draft capital to make that happen. There's also
to trade up. You're talking about.
Yeah.
There's
also a decent chance because it's so concentrated at the wide receiver position. You might see teams based on their system evaluate some of these guys differently. Like you might see the kid from LSU go ahead of Ruggs. You might see the kid from Arizona State go ahead of Ruggs. I think that is very possible. So there's a chance that he slips outside the top 20 and the Eagles can snag him. I wouldn't count on it.
Wow.
Hamler would definitely be there. And like you said, they could probably move back and still get him, maybe even into the second round.
All right, well, let's just say that they don't want to risk trading back to get him. Do you think that if Ruggs isn't there, they would take Hamler over Justin Jefferson?
I have good reason to believe that the Eagles have Hamler. I wouldn't be surprised, I should say, if the Eagles have Hamler higher on their board because of the lack of team speed. And it was made exceedingly obvious last year once DeSean Jackson couldn't play after the beginning of the season, how big a hole that was in terms of the passing game. I think they have identified, my guess is that they have identified speed as the biggest need on offense by far. And if you're sitting there with Jefferson and Hamler both available, I would not be stunned. I would not be stunned if Hamler was higher on their board.
All right. Just a couple more things. I want to get to this Sherry question, but I want to get your views on and what people are saying about the Major League Baseball plan. You have a lot of baseball gurus hanging around ESPN. Should we buy into this, or is this some kind of weird pipe dream that's just supposed to keep us at bay?
I did a podcast with Buster on Wednesday about this. My first cynical reaction when I saw the headline, like you missed, baseball plans for May start in Arizona. I was leafing through the article, where in this article do they also announce that they're releasing a vaccine, right? Because that's literally the only way that this would happen, right?
Yeah.
Literally the only way. After reading the piece top to bottom, what struck me is that Major League Baseball is being, I guess, what I would describe as way overly ambitious. Way overly ambitious. Yeah, I don't know the first thing about public health. My dad does actually, he runs the respiratory franchise at AstraZeneca. I'm supposed to be a fourth generation pharmacist. Instead, I'm doing this. He thinks this is highly, highly irresponsible. Like the idea that people could play baseball next month, he found almost offensive. And, his guess, the guess of most scientific experts that I've read say, like August or September. But to be clear as to why that's the case, in order to do this, what you would have to be able to do is test every single person in this, theoretical bubble, 1,500 people, and then they would have to then not be exposed at all after that. The idea of controlling the lives of 1,500 people for 4 months is impossible. I don't see a way around it.
Wow. So you were raised to be a pharmacist?
I was supposed to be a fourth generation, and here I am, looking up stats on Henry Ruggs.
Did that disappoint your fam?
I vividly remember this one terrible argument with my father after I got a D in chemistry in the 11th grade that I'm not quite over, to be frank, as you can hear.
Yeah, but look at him now. Look at you now. Pop's got to go. My son's a star. rather than getting buried in some Rite Aid.
If I got a B in chemistry, that's what I'd be doing. I'd be sitting right giving out nebulizers with a mask on, but here I am instead.
All right, let's get into trivia, because your trivia questions, you slay people with these, and you're going to kill me because I'm not good at this. Maybe Tyrone will come up with the answer. What do you got?
Bro, today I asked a trivia question on Get Up in which the answer was Ohio State. Bobby Carpenter, former Ohio State linebacker, got it wrong in the segment preceding Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, being on.
That's
you can't
a violation.
Be better at this than I am. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolute savage mood. Okay, I got five questions for you. We'll go quick.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the all-time leading scorer in the history of the NCAA tournament?
All-time leading scorer has got to be Leitner, no?
That is correct. 407 career points in the NCAA tournament for Christian Leitner. Very well done. All right. Question number two for you, Mike Emis. Which pitcher recorded the most strikeouts in the last decade, the years 2010 through 2019?
I would say Scherzer.
That is also correct. Max Scherzer, 2,452 strikeouts in the last decade. I thought for sure you'd get Verlander. Very well done.
You don't know Bobby Carpenter. I slayed them both, brother.
That's incredible. Can I keep going, or are we out of time?
No, we're good. I just wanted to ask you about your situation, because I want to get an update on living with the in-laws now, 3-4 weeks into it. How are things going with the wife and people?
We took the short commute actually down from New Jersey down to my parents' place in Westchester. So for the last week, I have been living in my parents' basement with my wife, an ideal setup for a first year of marriage, as you know. But this is a time where inconvenience is should not be stated. Obviously we are living in unprecedented times, and as far as right now we are healthy, we are well, and I'm waking up in the morning, I'm doing the show, with my loafers on. So you're local.
I mean, that's cool. You're in Westchester. So, what's the food situation? Are they leaving it at the top of the stairs here, or what?
We're still mingling enough and mingling responsibly. I'm definitely overeating. I thought that's what you were asking. But yeah. We're taking care of ourselves. We're staying healthy and well, and we're going back. I think we'll probably go back up at some point and hang with the in-laws so that, my sisters don't kill me, which I think is very possible.
All right. Listen, man, thanks for coming on. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And we'll look forward to your trivia questions slaying people on Get Up.
You're a good man.
There he is, Hembo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.